share again. It's been a while since I've been up here. I just quickly want to pray for us before we get into it. Lord, we thank you for your presence, and you know, it's so sweet, Lord, to be with you, to be a part of the things that you're doing, God. And we want that to change us, Lord, and we want that to change the way that we live, not just when we get together, Lord, but as we live our lives in every single part. And I ask that as we consider your word, Lord, that you would shape something within us, Lord, and that that this city, that our workplaces, that the people around us would benefit from that which you do in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've asked the AV people to put up a picture. So last year in around November, I had the opportunity to go to the U.S., and we went for my now wife's brother's wedding. So a lot of different things happened on that trip. One of the things that happened was a friend of her is a teacher at what would be equivalent of like our grade five, I think. And so she had like a time where we were speaking about different cultures and things, and it so happened that we were there. And so myself, Martha from Uganda, got to share a bit, and I got to share a bit about South Africa and our, like, my culture. And it was November, or end of October, November. I can't actually remember the exact time. But the first thing that I taught them was how to say lekker. And the second thing is I gave them a really good education around the World Cup. So this is a very important time for us as a nation, for my culture. There's a very significant event took place. We won the World Cup. And so it's like a lot was happening at that time. And I mean, we were 9 hours difference. Like, the World Cup was happening. I was like, I don't want to hear a thing. No one must say anything. I'm going to watch this in my own time, and got to watch it. But I mean, the whole Rugby World Cup was quite intense. And like, a lot of the games had you sitting at the edge of your seat, like, are we actually going to make it or not? And I can just imagine what halftime must have been like in those locker rooms, and the kind of speeches that were given to these guys in such a big moment. But I want us to consider, like, imagine our the Springboks going into this locker room after first half, intense, like tired, and you get to sit down. Actually, it's like, oh, I don't have to take shots, I don't have to look about what I'm gonna do next. I can just sit down, refresh. I can listen to the coach standing up there and giving me some instruction, giving me some new perspective, helping a line, and like, where am I gonna run next? I can actually just have a conversation without having to shout at the person on the other side of the field. It's like, maybe the guy's on the bench. It's been a while. I can chat to them. It's just, it's a nice, comfortable environment. Now, you can imagine, like, getting the input, all these things. It's like eventually at the end, I don't know what it's actually like, but I remember in high school, it's like at the end of the halftime, you'd almost get chanting, like, get each other hyped up again to go onto the field. Now, imagine you sitting there. You somehow got tickets to one of these big games, and you're sitting there and you're seeing these guys come onto the field, and it's about to be kickoff, and you're like, where? Like, counting. It's like, there's a few people missing. You're like, what's going on? And the next moment they kick off, and you're like, what's going on? And you later find out that there was a group of the guys that remained behind in the locker room, and they were chatting, and like, we've just missed each other. It's comfortable. Why would I want to be out there taking shots if I can be in here, comfortable, my friends, we can just chat? Like, what the heck? And you see some guys standing there next to the field, still in their tracksuits, like, waiting to play. It's like, they're waiting for their call to play. It's like, no. It's like, here's the big game. It's like, you're supposed to be on the field. When you see some little huddle there of guys standing, speaking about what the coach has just told them. Like, I think it's a really good strategy. I wonder what it means if this is happening or that's happening. But the game's going on all around them. You'll be like, what, you guys are missing out? Like, you missed the purpose of the time of getting together, of the time of hearing what the coach was saying. And I think, like, that's actually oftentimes how we go about church and go about our Christian lives. It's like we have these moments where we get to be together. We have our Sunday times. We have our Wednesdays. But then Monday comes, and we face with the real world. But all we want to do is we want to hang around with our Christian buddies. It's safe. It's like, I don't want to take the shots. I don't want to get uncomfortable and speak to people that don't know the Lord. Or we spend so much time speaking about serving God, speaking about the things that the Bible says, but we actually miss the opportunity to live that out in the place where God has called us to. Or just something else I've been thinking about the last while is, I think especially younger people, but I think this stretches through to different parts of our lives, is like we're always waiting for the calling. We're waiting for the time where God is going to put us in a place where we can have influence or live out the thing that he has called us to. When, in fact, the game is busy happening, like it's busy playing around us. And that's what I want to touch on this morning. Jason Upton is a singer, songwriter, poet. But he said something that really touched me, where he said, like, imagine if even just half of people that call themselves Christian live out the songs that they sing on a Sunday. It's like how the world would change if people actually just, and he, what he calls the activity of worship, like living out our worship. If you think about a lot of us sitting here, you'll probably start working by the age of 25. So think, you spend 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, let's say if you're lucky, 48 weeks in a year. Doing the math, I've done it before, and it's 1,920 hours, if you strict on that, that you're going to be spending in the workplace. Now imagine starting, if you start work at the age of 25 and work to the age of 65, that's 40 years of 1,920 hours a year. If you do the math, that's a lot of time. it's a lot of time that we would spend in the workplace, not in these environments where we get to worship by singing a song, not by praying together with other believers. And so it's so much of our lives are not lived in these moments, but are lived out there. And I think if we as a people just hold on to this as our expression of our Christianity, we actually miss out so much of what God wants to do in and through us. And so this morning, I want to make a statement, and I'll look at different scriptures, but just to consider this. But the statement that I want to make and I want to carry through is, whatever place you find yourself, you can be confident that God is using it to shape Jesus in you and to establish his kingdom through you. Whatever place you find yourself, you can be confident that God is using it to shape Jesus in you and is establish his kingdom through you. So throughout the Bible, we see people being born in different times in like a lot of strange situations and environments, and growing up, going through a lot of different things, and it doesn't always make sense in the moment. And I want us to just consider even David's life. So you see David, which I believe all of us have heard about, being the youngest son, a shepherd boy. And imagine how much time is spent just in the fields, just walking around. Yeah, you see these different moments where there's like a lion and a bear that comes, and and David has to fight them off. But if you look later on in his life where he has an interaction just before going into battle with Goliath, he has this conversation with Saul. If we can look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to 37. David says to Saul that your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And we see how these individual moments of his day-to-day life, God actually used to form something in him that when he called him to step out and fight against Goliath, that there was a confidence that I've seen how God has moved then. It's like, I know that he can do something now. But imagine when he was in the field, he feels one day he's going to be a leader or something, and now he's stuck with sheep. And a lion or a bear comes and takes one of the sheep. I think my perspective could have so easily been like, nah, fam, I'm not risking my life to go after a sheep. It's like, there's better things that God has for me. It's like, I'm not going to put myself on the line for this. It's like, I'm going to preserve myself. My mental health cannot deal with this right now. It's like, there's so many excuses he could have made in that moment. But it's just like in the day-to-day sort of stuff, like God was using it to do something in him, to equip him for what's next. God was using it to show something of his faithfulness to David in those moments for what he has for him. And it's quite a specific example. I mean, we know how David's life played out. But we can have that same confidence irrespective of where we find ourselves. It's like whether you find yourself at home as a mother looking after your children, whether you find yourself as a gardener dealing with plants all day, being in the sun and sweating, whether you're sitting in front of a computer or dealing with patients, it's like wherever you are, you can have confidence that God is using your working environment, your situations, to form something of himself and reveal something of himself to you. We see in James 2, verse 2 to 4, how James says that, does not look right. It's 1, verse 2 to 4. Verse 2 to 4 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you've spent any amount of time with someone who works, at some point, you would know that their experience has been one of a trial, like some kind of testing, some kind of frustration, or just the struggle. And like, obviously, if we consider the people in the New Testament, it's like their trials were quite a bit more extreme in terms of persecution, being killed, beheaded, like, you know, those kinds of things. But irrespective, like, any trial that we go through is something that tests and refines us. It's like whether it's a difficult colleague, whether it's an unfair situation at work, whether it's something that you don't enjoy doing, that you are faced with day in and day out, it's a trial that's going and poking at your heart. It's like, what's the beneath the surface here? Like, what comes out of you when you're placed in this situation? What comes out of you when someone wrongly accuses you of something at work? Or when the boss expects beyond what's able to deliver. It's like there's a trial. There's something there where there's an opportunity for us to become more like Jesus. I want to say again, it's like irrespective of where you find yourself, no matter how difficult your work environment is or how frustrated you are with the kids at home, it's like you can have confidence that God is busy working in you, that God is busy shaping something within you. And at the same time, you can have confidence that there is an opportunity for God to establish his kingdom through you. We see in the teachings of Jesus how he's called us to be a city on a hill, how he's called us to be lights in this world, to reflect something of him and of his kingdom. And in Philippians 2, we also see how Paul emphasizes this. And he says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And part of our calling is to shine as lights in the world, in the different places that we find ourselves, to be a light, to represent something of Jesus to other people. And if you think about even just the standard Paul sets here, it's like, think about how much grumbling you hear, how much negative talk you hear on a day-to-day basis in the workplace. It's like, simply by not grumbling, simply by not disputing, it's like we get an opportunity to show something of Jesus. And so much of the New Testament is also giving us these different things of how it is that we are supposed to conduct ourselves within the world. What would the world look like if we took even just the most basic things and applied it within our working environment? Like imagine if just the people that profess Jesus were honest in the way that they worked, were respectful, and showed care. Like think about how much of the problems that we see in politics, in business, in the world would go away by simply taking like those small truths and applying it. It's like never mind the biggest thing. And I think that's the thing that I want to really stir us on this morning is like, how are we taking the things that we hear when we spend time in the Word? How are we taking what we sing on a Sunday? How are we taking the messages that we hear or the things that we hear on Wednesdays and actually go and apply that in the context that God has called us to? What does it look like to glorify God in the place where God has placed you? Something that myself and Ryan have just been speaking about this week is like I realize that a lot of the time when this kind of question comes up, the thing that I hear people go to is like we want a framework, like we want a comprehensive thing to be able to say this is what glorifying God looks like in my working environment. It's like we want this comprehensive answer that we can then take and go apply. And oftentimes while we're waiting for that, it's like we just going through the motions of work. We just going through the motions of every day. And then when we get together with our Christian friends, like, oh, but what does it mean to glorify God? Like, how does it look like to live out the gospel? How does it look like to evangelize? And then we go back to work and we just do our thing. And then it's like we're almost waiting for this profound kind of revelation of what does it look like? And then I'll go and do it. But I think it's a difficult one. And like thinking even just about preaching around work, there's so many nuances. Like we were saying, for one person, the situation that you find yourself in might be that like I'm constantly striving for more. I'm constantly feeling like unsettled and I've got ambition. And the thing that God wants to say to you is to be content. But for another person, it might be that God is doing something in you of establishing dignity, of wanting to build up confidence, and for you to step out. And it's just like, there's no blanket answer that we can throw here. And if you even just think of people's, the environments that you find yourself in, it's like thinking about Nicholas is spending 6 days a week working in the garden. Thinking about the numerous mothers there are here who spend the majority of their lives, never mind days, looking after kids. Thinking about the likes of Tom, the Silicon Whisperer, typing instructions into a computer, hoping the computer listens to him. Mr. Shaw, in a corporate kind of environment, like having to lead, having to make certain decisions, having a high pace going on about him. It's like such different experiences. And if we're going to wait for this like catch-all framework, this is what you need to go in and do, this is what it would look like, it's like we're actually going to miss the things that God has placed in each one of you, in the places that he has you to live out. And so what I want to ask of you is, like, let's move away from waiting for some kind of framework and some kind of ultimate answer, and just apply what you see on a daily basis. Apply what you hear on a Sunday in your day-to-day. And it's like, rather than it just being this information, this intellectual exercise, or this spiritual experience that we have, it's like, what if we actually just took the time to say, Jesus, how does this apply in what I'm busy with today? It's like, how is this reality of what I'm reading in the Word? How is this thing that we're speaking about as a church, or the message that's continuing coming forward? Like, how does that influence the decisions that I need to make today? And it moves from this philosophical concept of, like, how do I achieve this thing in the workplace to just, how do I take this and walk it out in the place that God has me? And you're going to look back and you're going to see what God is going to form in you and do through you. And it's like, it shouldn't be difficult. And I'm gonna just look at some examples from my own life and some of the people are around me of how I've seen this play out, just to try and actually ground this as well. But it's like, the thing that I want to get to is so simple. It's like, how do I take this? How do I apply this? And what does this mean for me in this moment? And this might play out in like different parts. And so what I just thought of touching on is, like, the one for me has been just my attitude towards work. So earlier this year, I've been working for almost 5 years now, and I've been with the same company. And just the beginning of the year, I had a bit of an internal wrestle around like ambition and like what's the line between ambition and contentment, and like what does it look like to be driven in your career, but satisfied and waiting on God. And it was this back and forth, like, is it okay to be driven, or and I had a lot of different conversations. And then the one Sunday when we had the combined service at the town hall, Carlo was preaching, and at some point he read the scripture, I think it's in Timothy, where it says, it's like, if we have food and a place over our heads, we will be content. And like, as he read it, it was like, it pierced me. And for me in that moment, it was like, I'm just unsettled. Like, I'm not finding my contentment in God. I'm not grateful for the place and the things that God has given me. And I'm wanting to go to more and to more and to more. And in that moment, I realized, like, I'm actually missing out on what God has given me in this time. And I'm going to trust him if there's a next thing that he will open up the doors and make it clear to me. But for me, I want to be content where God has placed me. And so just that scripture, all of a sudden, like changed my perspective, and I could find myself being content there where God has me and not feel like I need to be on the lookout, like I need to look for something more, something different, or give myself in a different way. And so information caused me to shift my way of thinking about a certain situation. So that was my attitude around work. Another thing recently has just been the way that I work. So when we started speaking and like as leaders feeling that God is putting his finger on the workplace and on businessmen and things like that, so like Eventu made the phrase, or like made the phrase, he said like it's like work as worship. And one of the scriptures that's quite well known, if you think about working onto God, is in Colossians 3. And I quickly want us to look at that. So Colossians 3, verse 22 to 24. It says, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ." And so just starting to think about that scripture again and the standard that Paul is establishing here, it's like we can say, "I want to be a good employee." But it's something very different to consider my working environment, that I'm serving Jesus, and that the way that I submit to those that are in authority in my workplace, I'm going to submit to them and serve them as I would serve the Lord. And all of a sudden, it was just like, again, my perspective shifted in the way that I go about work. It's not, if you can put on verse 22 again, like I love the words that he uses there. It's like, not by way of eye service or people pleasers. Like, it's not about what people's perception of my work is. It's like, the standard of my work and the way that I consider and think about my bosses, it's like I have the opportunity to serve them. And it just, again, it changed the way that I go about work. To actually go to my boss the other day and say, like, "I want to serve you. Like, I want to, if you need something done, even if it's outside of the scope of my immediate work, it's like, I want to put up my hand. I want to know how I can support you." It's like in our business, we're a startup, and it's quite a critical time. And the founders are like, you can see that it's quite stressful and it's a lot going on. And just to be like, "I want to back you. Like, I want to stand behind you. I want to cheer you on. I want to serve you. I want to pray for you." It's like just a different perspective from, "I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do it well. I'm going to go home and carry on with my day-to-day life." And so the word of God, like, not only changing the attitude within my heart, but actually changing the way that I approach my work on a day-to-day. And recently, we've also been speaking about, or like in having these business meetings during the week, and you know, there are a number of business owners, but it's like, even in that, it's like, how is the word of God shaping the way that you structure your business, shaping the way that you are handling your employees? A person that has made quite a big impact on me simply because of what they did. The guy's name is Wally Gray. So Wally, amongst other things, started an asset management company called Resco Asset Management. And I sort of started working for them and then got pulled into something else. But Wally and a few other guys working in the financial space, investments. And it's like our connotation oftentimes is greed. It's people that are just chasing after money. And Wally and them had this conviction of, like, how do we do business in a way that reflects Jesus? Like, how do we break free from the love of money? And how do we actually use this as a resource to further the kingdom and like the things that God is doing? And something that they decided to do is like not just your corporate sign off, we giving some of our money away. It's like they decided that 20% of the business profit is going to be given into a foundation that then does like fund a lot of different work. And for the, like those of you who've heard some of what's happening in Kaya Mundi with Amy and them through Work for a Living, like that was one of the organizations that got funded from this. But just actually in the way that business is done, and that was years ago, deciding, it's like, we want to do things differently. We want to establish something where irrespective of how well it's going or not, 20% is going to be put into this for God's purposes. And a large number of the employees of this organization doesn't even follow the Lord, but it's like they're exposed to this on a daily basis. It's like they're exposed, their bonuses are less because a whole lot of money is being used for different purposes. And there's just something, it's like, that's reminded and like worked into the people of the organization. It's like your work is for more than just you. It's like the better you do as an employee, the more other people will benefit from it. And it's like these guys just not just thinking how I personally can handle my finances, but in the place where God has placed them, okay, I'm starting to handle other people's money. I'm wanting to establish this business. How is it that I can take the ways of God and apply it in my context to represent Jesus well? And so I think irrespective of where you find yourself, just starting to ask these questions, starting to wrestle with the word of not just seeing it as something I spend time with God in the morning and then go on with the rest of my life, but actually asking like, Lord, how does this, what I read this morning, how does this, what I heard on a Sunday apply to me today? And the beauty also of the body, the beauty of having people around you, like if you look around, people from different ages, people with different experiences, of learning from each other. It's like, I'm doing this. Like, how do you think I can glorify God better? It's like, there's actually a few of us that work together. It's like, if we see things in each other's lives of being able to say, it's like, hey, this isn't lining up with the word of God. It's like, let's find ways that we can actually allow God to shape the way that we work, the way that we think about work, the way that we reach out. And so in closing, I just want us to consider actually, I think the first statement I made was like having the confidence where you are that God has you there and that he is working in your life. But maybe you're sitting here and it's been tough. Like, work has been a question mark for you. You've been frustrated. You're actually struggling to see God where you are. It's like, I want us to just actually bring that before the Lord this morning. And I want to ask if we can maybe all just stand up, please. Yeah, so if you find yourself in a place where you're not aware that God is working, you don't have that confidence that this is where God has you, I want you to maybe just put up your hand and like, let's acknowledge that before God and before others, and let's trust him to stir a new faith in us just for the place that he has us. So if that's you and you have got uncertainty, you've got frustration, you've just been negative about your working environment or your home environment or like what plays out on day to day, I just want to ask you if you can put up your hand and just keep that up.